Well, we just to catch us up, the two most common words in Galatians are faith and law. And that's what Paul has been contrasting for two chapters now. In chapter 2, we saw that we are justified by faith and that we live by the faith. Of course, Galatians 2:20, kind of the capstone one there. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Then here at the beginning of this chapter, we saw that through the hearing of faith, we get saved and we grow. It's all about faith. And then tonight, we find out that we have received the promise of the Spirit by faith. And we have been delivered from the curse by faith. So it's all about what faith does for us. That's what the theme of Galatians. So we'll start there in verse 10 where we finished last week. It says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." So tonight we talk about that promise of the Spirit here in Galatians 3. Let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom and teach us tonight through your precious and powerful word. And may you be glorified through it. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, we see here two different curses that we have been delivered from through salvation, through faith. The first curse, as it says there, is primarily upon the Jewish people. It's cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written. In other words, anyone who's trying to earn salvation through the law, if they break it, they are cursed. In Deuteronomy 11 is where he got this. Let's turn there so we can see the reference. Deuteronomy 11 and verse 26. This is the passage that Paul was quoting here, Deuteronomy 11 and verse 26. It says, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which you've not known." So this is the passage of Paul's referring to, that if you don't keep the law, you're cursed. Of course, we know this to be true. Yes, you can get to heaven by keeping the law, but you have to keep it all and never fail once, which no one can do, which means everyone who's trying to earn heaven through the law is cursed. But it says here that Jesus has delivered us from this curse, and he reminds us in verse 11 of Galatians 3, no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. Can't do it. "It is evident, for the just shall live by faith." Here, Paul is now quoting from Habakkuk chapter 2. So let's turn there. This is quoted multiple times in the New Testament. Not as many times as the Leviticus 19 passage, but a lot. So Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. I do that for myself. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, "Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." So this is the verse that's being quoted. It's quoted in Romans chapter 1, it's quoted in Hebrews chapter 10, and it's quoted here in Galatians chapter 3, "The just shall live by faith." And we've already seen that, haven't we? Again, Galatians 2:20, "The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God." So God wants us to obviously get saved by faith and to live by faith. So, verse 12 of our passage, "The law is not of faith." Can't mix the two. "The man that doeth them shall live in them." So again, if you try to get to heaven by keeping the law, you're in serious trouble. Look at chapter 5, verse 3 of Galatians. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. In other words, if you choose to go that route, you have to keep it all. You can never break it once, which every human being breaks thousands of times. And so that's the curse that we've been delivered from, the first curse. Then there's a second curse. Verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. That's the first curse. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So Jesus took upon himself a second curse through the means of his execution. And that's in Deuteronomy 21. So let's turn there. Deuteronomy 21, 23. This is the passage that Paul is referring to this time. Deuteronomy 21 and verse 23. And so it says here that Jesus delivered us from the curse of the not keeping the law. But here he says he delivered us by becoming a curse. Notice Deuteronomy 21, 23. His body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God. So there it is. He that is hanged is accursed of God. He that's hanged on a tree. And so when the Romans nailed him to the cross, that was a curse under Jewish law. And Jesus became a curse for us, the Bible says. Aren't you thankful for salvation? So through faith, we have been delivered from the curse of the law, that the blessing, verse 14 of our passage, of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. This is the blessing that we've been talking about for two chapters, the blessing of salvation, the blessing of justification, which again, back look at 2:16, which is one of the key passages on this. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. So we're justified by faith. And then look at 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, unto thy seed, which is Christ. We'll look at this more next week. That the seed, obviously, is Jesus, and that's how we receive the blessing of Abraham. And the promise of Abraham is through a descendant of Abraham, which is Jesus Christ, who brings us eternal life through salvation. But here in the end of verse 14, he talks about yet another promise that we receive when we get saved. Now, we've already seen that we receive justification. We've already seen that we receive the opportunity to grow by faith and to live by faith. We already see that we've been delivered from the curse. But God says, yes, there's another promise, and that is the promise of the Spirit through faith. So now he's referring to a New Testament promise, not an Old Testament promise. Some people like to take you to the book of Joel chapter 2, where God says he'll pour out his Spirit and people shall dream dreams and so forth. But if you read the whole passage, it's obviously talking about the end of the tribulation period just prior to the return of Jesus Christ. Even Peter tried to quote it in Acts, but if you read that, the majority of what was quoted there still hasn't come to pass, because Pentecost wasn't the fulfillment of Joel chapter 2. But let's just do a little bit of a chronological walk on this promise of the Spirit. When you and I get saved, we receive the Spirit. Amen? What a blessing. Not only do we receive justification, not only are we rescued from the curse of the law, but we receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So again, you can't, you know, there's groups out there that teach you have to pray for the Spirit, that you, later on in your Christian life, you can get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, where he comes upon you and gives you what they call the second blessing. Well, then it wouldn't be through faith, would it? The promise is through faith. That's what it says here in Galatians 3:14, that we receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. When we exercise our faith in Jesus Christ, we receive the promise. So let's walk through it. John chapter 1, we'll start there. And just make sure we understand this. I know we looked a lot of it when we looked at the Baptist Bride doctrines, because this is something that they're very confused about, is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, as we saw. I noticed John 1:33, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. So as early as the baptism of Jesus, which is right at the beginning of his ministry, we have this prophecy of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, right at the beginning of his ministry. And then go to John 14:17. Like I say, we'll do this chronologically. So John 14, he's talking a lot about the Holy Ghost. And here in verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So notice Jesus here saying it's going to happen, but it's the future. He's with you, obviously. The Spirit's God and he's everywhere. But there's going to come a day when he shall be in you. So then we get to Acts chapter 1, where Christ has now arisen from the dead. He's now spent 40 days with his disciples, going through intense Bible college training. And he's just about to ascend to heaven. And he says there in Acts 1:5, for John truly baptized with water. So he's going all the way back to John chapter 1. But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So now he's actually saying it's going to happen in a couple days. And then, of course, in verse 10, he went to heaven. He ascended to heaven. So right before he went to heaven, he said, this thing that I've been prophesying about, this thing I've been telling you about, it's about to happen here in a couple days. Well, it happened on Pentecost. Amen? Whole chapter 2 is about the Holy Ghost coming down and filling God's people. And if you go to Acts chapter 10, verse 47, we see where the Apostle Paul is referring to the first Gentile converts. So Pentecost remembers all Jews. But here in Acts chapter 10, Paul's referring to those Cornelius and his family who were Gentiles. And here in Acts 10:47, he says, can any forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? So he says, we need to baptize these people because they've received the Holy Ghost just like we did. And I'm sure the Jews that were with him are shocked that these dogs could actually receive the Holy Ghost. And then if you go to chapter 11, where Paul has gone back to report what has happened, verse 15, he's recounting now what happened to Cornelius and his family. He said, and as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. By the way, that's another reason why I personally believe the church began at Pentecost. Because Paul says that that was the beginning. The beginning of what? Well, the beginning of everything being different. He said it fell on us. Well, when did it fall on the disciples? It fell on the disciples on Pentecost. And he's saying now it fell on these Gentiles. So the promise is now happening to everyone that places faith in Jesus Christ. And then if you go to Romans 8:9, God makes it very clear that if you don't have the Spirit of God, you're not a Christian. You're not saved. So you definitely don't need to pray for the Spirit, because if you don't have the Spirit, you can't even pray. You're wasting your time, because you're not praying through the blood of Jesus. Think about that. Romans 8:9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. God says, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're not even one of God's. Which means every believer has the Spirit. That's what he's telling us. Amen. And then to drive it home, 1 Corinthians 6:19. You want to go there? So what we're looking at tonight is this promise of the Spirit. We've already seen that we're justified. We're delivered from the curse. All these wonderful things that have happened through faith. Now he says you've also received the promise of the Spirit through faith. When you place your faith in Jesus Christ, God even did more. He gave you himself in the person of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? He's writing here to backslidden Christians, the Corinthians, and says, don't you know that God lives in you, in the person of the Holy Ghost? What's wrong with you? Why are you acting the way you're acting when you're the temple of God? And so an additional promise he talks about here, the promise of the Spirit. Praise the Lord for that promise that we receive, as it says there in verse 14, through faith. And of course, what a blessing that the Lord Jesus Christ became a curse on our behalf. You know, go back and read Isaiah 52, Isaiah 53, and see how God was satisfied through the suffering of not only the body, but even the soul of Jesus Christ. How his soul was an offering for sin. And Jesus Christ became that curse. And us, when we placed our faith in Jesus Christ through the hearing of faith, we got saved, we got justified, and now we live by the faith, we grow by the faith, and we receive the Spirit, the promise of the Spirit by faith. Praise God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word and for the blessing of the Holy Ghost who indwells us at salvation. Lord, I pray that we would lean on him, be filled with him, not grieve him, but Lord, be led by him that we might honor you. Thank you for your miraculous salvation through faith. We are so blessed and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.